Well, I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the difference that it makes to us. Ask for your prayers this morning. The Lord bless His word and being able to bring out what He would have for us. As we are all together here for the first Sunday that I've been here. We've been together since the new year. Maybe just another day, another time. Maybe nothing so special about January 1st as opposed to the 31st, but we mark time as the Lord gave it to us by seasons and by times and the movement of the planets and all that we keep time and mark our calendars by. And I think it's as good a time as any for us to stop and reflect and think back on the year that's just been concluded and on the year that lies before us, which we know so little about at this point. And I believe it's good for us to set some goals of what I'd like to be able to do of spiritual worth and meaning through this coming year. I know I have some places that I've said, Lord, I believe you've been trying to teach me some things in 2020. Lord, help me to apply those in this coming year. We want to be closer to the Lord and be faithful to Him. I'd like to begin in the 32nd chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 32, and beginning in the 15th verse. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. That sounds like a pretty good place to live, doesn't it? I enjoy, having over the last number of years been out in the country. I've enjoyed being able to get away from the noise of the city and be out in the country. And I remember when we bought the place, the family that sold it to us told us, we trust that you find peace out here as we have. And I'll say it's been a peaceful setting, but that's not where I find peace. Peace is about more than just the absence of noise and the absence of commotion about us. This talks about a place that comes only about by the work of righteousness. And like for us to consider by the Lord's help, His rest. As we see around us so much turmoil in our world today, so much distress, people at their wits' end. Scripture talks about that in Psalms, of sailors who are out in the ship and the winds and the waves come and their hearts begin to melt them and they're at their wits' end. And then they look unto the Lord. And He brings them out, it says, into their quiet haven. A quiet, or something to that effect, a quiet haven or a quiet resting place that the Lord brings them unto. Well, the Lord, I believe, has that for us. And I know as we look back into 2020, some people have said it's about time that hindsight is 2020 or 2020 is hindsight. Well, I found the Lord to be faithful, to be good to me through 2020. You know, we look back and it was a year that probably for all of us in some way was filled with some or contained some disappointment. Or there were some plans that we had that were foiled and were not able to come to pass. We had to rearrange our plans and our hopes and maybe knew what disappointment was. You know, those things can work something within us that's anything but rest and peace. This talks about a place of peace and of quietness and of assurance. of a peaceable habitation and sure dwelling place, and quiet resting places. We look back under the Old Testament time and we see from the very beginning that God on the last day ceased from his own works, and as the scripture says, rested. Or he ceased from doing the work of creation on the last day of that week. And it carried forward. There was a space of time up until Moses, so we don't have record of the observance of a Sabbath day. But there came the time under Moses that the Lord said, I want you to observe the seventh day, the last day of the week, and to keep it holy unto the Lord your God. And remember the Lord your God. Remember your Creator on this day. Cease from your own works and from your own labors on that day. You see it in the wilderness. Whenever the Lord had sent manna unto them, he told them, every day you take unto yourself only as much as you can eat in that day. Don't try to store up for tomorrow, because it'll breed worms and it'll stink. It won't last, with the exception of that last day, or what we would know to be Friday, that you take up enough for 2 days on that day so that you can rest on the last day. And on that day, it would be preserved for them. There was a very strict observance of the Sabbath day. They were literally to cease from their own works and to cease from their own labors, to observe a day of rest and of worship to the Lord. Well, there was good to be found in that. A Sabbath of every week, there was a Sabbath even that fell to the land, that they were to observe to give the land rest. Well, the Lord knew what he was doing. The Lord, in instituting the observance of that, I believe, again, some benefit, no doubt physically in that. But I believe the Lord was wanting to achieve more than just a physical rest. And scripture talks about in the book of Hebrews, it says that it's a shadow of things that are to come. The law is a shadow of good things to come. There was something that the Lord was pointing unto that was fulfilled in the New Testament, fulfilled in Christ. Jesus said, I haven't come to destroy the law. I haven't come to tear it down and say it was worthless or it was of no purpose, but I've come now to give you the fulfillment of it. I've come to fulfill the law. I've come to give you what the law was pointing unto. Now, I know that there are still many in our world that observe a Sabbath day. And folks, the Lord wants us to be responsible with our bodies. The Lord wants us to know when our designed our bodies to tell us whenever our bodies need rest. The Lord wants us to be good stewards of our health and of our body. There's a time to rest. But the religious significance of a Sabbath day is gone. The Sabbath that the Lord wants us to observe has been fulfilled in Christ. And I want to consider a little more as we go along what that means. But while we're here in Isaiah, I'd like to look at the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of Isaiah, the first verse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Well, who is that speaking of? The stem of Jesse, certainly pointing towards Christ, our Messiah, our Redeemer, and the time that he would come. Well, I want to skip down now to the 10th verse. It says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, the thought of an ensign is as the children of Israel had when they marched forth out of the land of Egypt and the Lord was ordering it. It could have been complete chaos. It could have been an utter stampede with a million-ish people or perhaps more going out and trying to keep together and trying to know. It's hard enough sometimes to know in a supermarket where your children are, much less in a throng of a million people trying to keep them together and know where you're going. Well, they would raise up a banner by every one of the tribes, of every one of the children of Israel. They were to order this ensign or this banner, what was called a standard, that was to be raised up. And in the midst of confusion, in the midst of chaos, you look up under the banner. You look up, you lift up your eyes from all the dust of all the hooves of the livestock and the people who are marching, and you look up under the standard. And you know that that's where I'm to go. That's where I'm to rally. That's what I am to follow. Well, Jesus is our ensign. It said that He shall stand for an ensign. He is our standard. He is our banner. He is the one that we lift up our eyes to look unto. He is the answer to every problem, to every question. And I believe some people may say, well, that's just not for me. I believe it is. For every individual, for every person in this world, Christ, the blood of Jesus, and the rest that He has will avail for them. Unto Jesus will the Gentiles seek, and His rest shall be glorious. Folks, there is a rest for us today that goes far beyond one day of the week that we set aside in a literal sense, where we say, we'll not work on this day, where we'll say this is the day that we only are allowed to worship the Lord. There is a fulfillment in Jesus today that is so much better and so much more beautiful. And the scripture says here, it's glorious. There is a glorious rest for us as the children and the people of God that remains for us today. And I'm quoting all around the passage that we'll go to in Hebrews. But there remains a rest for us today. In the midst of all the hubbub and the confusion and the distress and the stress that's in our world today, folks, there still remains a rest for us. There still remains a place that we can find with the Lord, that we can rest in our spirit. So this rest goes beyond just the rest of the body. We can rest our bodies. We could consecrate a day of the week to call that our day of rest, and yet be in turmoil and distress in our mind and in our spirit. Folks, the enemy of our soul is the great agitator. He is the one that likes to stir and agitate in our world. He loves to do it between nation to nation, race to race, brother against brother, in whatever way he can. Political party against political party. Anywhere the devil can get in and stir and agitate and cause strife, he loves it. That's what he's all about. He is the author of confusion, and he loves to stir up and agitate every place that he can. The scripture talks about in Isaiah the 57th chapter, considering those then that are given over to Satan's control, knowing that that's Satan's intent, his desire, it's what he loves to do. Isaiah 57, the 19th verse says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Oh, folks, no amount of meditation, no amount of getting out in the quiet, as beautiful as the quietness of the morning is, no amount of going out and sitting in a certain pose and trying to direct our mind in a certain way and mind over matter, folks, none of those techniques will do what Jesus does for the soul of man. None of those texts. I love going out into the mountains. I love going out into nature, sitting beside whatever your place is. You go out into the mountains and you sit beside a little river or stream that's, and you just hear the sound of the water running and the birds chirping, and I can just about forget about my troubles and problems. But that only lasts so long. And you gotta go back to it again. There's nothing wrong with vacation. I believe it's, I don't put a spiritual value to this, but I believe it's good to get away every once in a while and rest and relax and enjoy God's creation and enjoy being with one another. But every vacation comes to an end. Every time of let's shut it all down, let's relax, it comes to an end. And it's back to it again. But there remaineth a rest. To the people of God, that's about more than one day of the week. It's about more than one week of the year that we set aside. This is our spiritual vacation time. This is our time when we're going to be able to be at rest in our spirit. For there is no rest, it says, unto the wicked. You can go and you can shut out the noise of the world. You can put on your noise-canceling headphones. You can go to the place that you enjoy the most, and you're still not able to take care of what's going on inside. You're still not able to quiet the trouble, the turmoil that's happening inside, the unrest, the unsettled feeling that happens inside. Folks, there is a place that we can find in Jesus Christ that quiets the storm. Maybe not always around us, but it quiets the storm inside of us. It quiets the turmoil and the distress and the sense of panic even that we can have, and what the wicked feel of continually needing something else. I've got to do something more. I've got to find something else. It's not doing it. I'm not satisfied. Oh, there's such a restless spirit in our world today that just can't find contentment, that just can't find satisfaction. If I'm in one place, I need to be in another place. If I'm in one job, I need to be in another job. If I'm at whatever it is, there needs to be some change. And it's constant turmoil and strife. Well, that's to those that are given to the author of strife, to the author of confusion. There's no rest while there's sin inside. There is a spiritual rest for us. The song that was sung at the cross, where our burden was lifted and rolled away. Folks, I hope you found that rest. I hope you found that place that you can find in the Lord, in the Lord alone, where you just feel the weight rolled off of you. Where you feel that turmoil inside quieted and stilled. And suddenly I'm not afraid of the quiet anymore. I'm not afraid of, I don't have to have a commotion going all the time. Because there's not something I'm having to try to drown out. Instead, I can welcome the quiet. And that place with the Lord. Thank the Lord for a place of peace and of quietness. I'd like to look at the 11th chapter of Matthew. Many of these being scriptures that we're very familiar with. Jesus gave us an invitation. The 11th chapter and the 28th verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, what an invitation and a promise to those that are heavy laden, to those that are weighed down, to those that are so oppressed and burdened and in turmoil and the heart is restless, come unto me. And I'll take all of that turmoil, I'll take all of that strife, and in its place I'll give what money can't buy. I'll give what new devices and what all the things that people or the world are clamoring after try to give them a sense of satisfaction, you can't buy it. You can't get it. I've heard of those of celebrities, and well, I believe it was Presley. It was quoted as having said something to the effect, "I'd give everything I have for a moment of peace." You can't buy it. You can't find a place where you can get away and obtain it, except at the cross. In Jesus, He gave that invitation. But I want us to consider this morning, is that only to the sinner? Folks, do we ever find ourselves becoming heavy laden? We ever find ourselves feeling weighed down, feeling oppressed? Those that are given over, again, to the spirit of oppression, to the author of agitation, of course they will. But folks, the enemy is going to try to impose upon every one of us. He's going to try to crowd in and to agitate and to disturb our peace, our contentment, our rest. Well, let's turn now to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. And let's see who this promise is given unto. "Let us therefore fear," or be careful, "lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Now the preceding chapter was talking about those who the Lord had promised, again, a place of rest, that was called the place of their rest, that they would enter into, which was, as we understand, a type of something that was to come. Well, they weren't to forever dwell in the land of Egypt, where they were under the oppression of their taskmasters. They weren't to always be under that oppression. They weren't always to wander aimlessly around through the wilderness. There was a place that the Lord wanted to bring them unto, where their enemies would be conquered, where they would gain victory, where they would reign in the land, where the enemy, you'll read oftentimes in terminology of the Old Testament of, for instance, the kings, that it would say, "And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies round about them." Well, the Lord's able to do that. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh him and his enemies to be at peace with him. Or the Lord will give victory over the enemies. That was a place of rest that the Lord wanted to bring them unto. And we know the story of how the children of Israel came right up to the point of it. And they said, "We can't do it." They said that the two spies that came back and said, "We can," were drowned out by the 10 that said, "Surely we can't. It's too great for us. There's some giants that have to be conquered there. Looking at this situation before me, and I don't see a way through that one. I don't see a way to be able to overcome this one." And so they wandered on and on, restlessly, aimlessly. The Lord's saying, "This isn't your rest. I've got a place, I've got a rest for you. A place that you can cease from the turmoil and constant strife of the enemy round about you. I want to give you a victory over that." Well, it was because of disobedience and unbelief that they drew back. And so it talks about the Lord being grieved with them, that they didn't enter into His rest. But then it goes on to give in the fourth chapter, the verse that we just read, "There remaineth still to us a rest, this being to the people of God." Well, mindful of the scripture in Revelation, it talks about they that die in the Lord shall rest from all their labors. Folks, there is a place, an ultimate place of rest, where we'll cease from all of our labors and our work, where we'll not face the tempter and the accuser of the brethren, where we'll not have another battle to fight, another affliction to experience. There is a rest in heaven for us. But there remains a rest for us today. And it's not for us to live in turmoil and strife in our spirit all through this life, just waiting for that time that is to come. I believe that this is speaking of a rest that abides and remains for us today. And there remaineth a rest. Have we entered into it? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he says, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Jesus being interpreted here was Joshua. If under that old covenant, if whenever Joshua brought them into the Canaan land, if that was the fulfillment of the rest, if there was no type of rest that went beyond that, and it was limited to a meaning of your literal enemies being overthrown, and you being able to possess a city that belongs now unto you, if that was it, he wouldn't have spoken of another day that was to come. But he did. He spoke of a glorious rest that would come when Jesus would come to the earth, of a rest that remains unto us. So it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So it tells me, as with the children of Israel, whenever they couldn't believe, whenever they didn't count God able enough to bring them into the Canaan land, to give them victory over their problems, to take care of and supply and provide for their needs, they fell short of what God really had for them. And I've been challenged as I've looked back over 2020 and as I look into 2021 for myself, and I see places in my life that I think, Lord, was I really resting in you? Because I don't know about you, but I'm one that likes to feel like I'm in control. I like to feel like things in my life are under my control to the greatest extent. One of the most terrible feelings to me, had it happen one time going down the interstate at interstate speed, and I hit a patch of black ice. And my car started fishtailing back and forth, and nothing that I did would correct it. I was completely out of control. You know how helpless of a feeling that is? How distressing of a feeling it is to realize that nothing I can do will change this situation. Nothing I can do will set things on the right course here. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, please have mercy. And sometimes that's all you have time to get out of your mouth. You know, there are circumstances in life that we feel out of control, that we realize nothing I'm doing is changing the circumstance. Nothing I'm doing is changing the situation. And if we're not careful, I found that I can begin to lose that place of rest. I can begin to find myself so agitated in mind and spirit. Well, I've got to do this, and I've got to try that, and I've got to try to force it to happen somehow. Folks, there remaineth a rest unto the people of God. Have you ever ridden on a gyroscopic device? Segway is what's coming to mind, but there are other devices or machines besides that. Katrina and I went to Cincinnati downtown one time and we rented Segways. And we were going to go on a tour of the city. It was the first time that I had ever been on one of those. The idea sounds great, but it's not very natural. And the doing of it is an altogether different story. Well, they thankfully gave us a little practice session there in the lot before we went out on the sidewalk in the street. And I stood up, and all you have is two wheels under you and a handlebar. And about time you start to lean forward, you feel like you're going to fall. And so you try to lean backward to counterbalance it. And then all of a sudden the Segway under you comes to a screeching halt and it throws you back. And then you try to lean forward to counteract that, and you're working against it the whole time. So for the first little while of my ride, I was constantly doing this and stopping and starting and jerking and thinking, I'm not so sure I want to do this after all. And it wasn't until I began to trust the machine. You know what? The machine is hopefully going to do what the machine's designed to do. And if, as I lean forward and I feel like I'm going to fall, the machine's going to catch up and it's going to stay under me. And that's the way that it worked. That's how you go forward. And as you lean forward, it increases its speed to keep the center of gravity under you. And if you want to slow down, you just gently lean back and let the machine do its work. But otherwise, you're constantly fighting it. You know, we can do the same with the Lord. Whenever I feel like I have to be in control, and I can't trust that the Lord's going to do His part, it can be much easier to look at, just like that segue. Oh, that looks easy. Look at the people just gliding down the street. It can be another story when you step on it, and now it's yourself that feels like you're about to fall. And you know, it's the same way in our experiences. It can be one thing to talk of faith. It can be one thing to say, I know the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. It can be one thing to say, I know all things work together for good to those that love God. But folks, it's a different matter. At least it has been for me. To put it into practice and say, that applies to this. That applies to this situation. And if then that is true, if then that's the way this is designed to work, then I can let it do its thing. Speaking, still referring to the Segway, I can allow it to do its thing and I can ride. Folks, there is a part that the Lord gives us to do, to fulfill. But there's a part that belongs unto God. And if I try to take over the part that belongs to Him, folks, I'm going to be constantly in this jerking back and forth and agitated in my spirit and trying to wonder, what more can I do? And was that enough? And there's the result of that is turmoil and strife in spirit and in mind, where the Lord is saying, there remaineth a rest therefore to the people of God. Cease from your own labors. Cease from your own works and let God be God. The scripture says in Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. Or be still, can we maybe say it this way? Be still and let me be God. Be still and let me work this out for you. Be still and let me do what you're not able to do. I'll give the example because it's no doubt fresh in all of our minds of an election cycle that we're just coming to the close of. Do you think that the whole election process can result in a loss of peace and rest and result in strife and turmoil? Well, I think the evidence is abundantly clear in just about any news report that you can find. There's turmoil and strife. There's a sense of helplessness. There's a sense of, this didn't go the way I expected it to go. This didn't go the way I thought it should have gone. This wasn't right. This wasn't fair. And again, I'm not taken sides here in this and any of those matters. But there is a sense of that. And whenever, folks, we feel like it's up to us. Remember I said there's a part that we play and there's a part that belongs to God. I went and I cast a ballot and I voted because it's a privilege that's been afforded to us to say, if you'd like to give a voice into how our government is formed, here's your opportunity to do so. And so I did that. You know, beyond that, how much traction am I getting by stressing and worrying and getting upset? And I have a social media account. There's perhaps a place for it and there's a place not for it. But you know the enemy will use that vehicle as one of many. Somebody will post a little, oh, how could you think that? How could you think that way? And there'll be other little comments that just, the enemy just loves to stir the pot. He loves to agitate. He loves to get these agitations going and then often will build on itself. There'll be maybe one comment made, whether it's social media or online or on the workplace, one little comment will be made and, well, I can't let that go. And somebody else is going to make another comment, another remark, and then that provokes somebody else and it just escalates out of hand. There remaineth therefore a rest. In the midst of all the turmoil and strife, when it doesn't mean that everything is going to go our way. It doesn't mean that every politician that I'd like to see in office is going to be put in office. It doesn't mean everything is going to go the way that I hoped it would. But thank the Lord, this rest that remains for us is not dependent on things going our way. It's not dependent on me having control of everything. Thank the Lord. Folks, if we were just in our minds to think about some of the situations maybe that we faced in the last year. And we have two buckets. The things that I can control and the things that I cannot control. Which bucket would be bigger? You know, when we stop to think about it, there's really not a whole lot that's in our control. There's really not a whole lot that I am able to completely control the direction and the outcome of a thing. Let's turn to get with that 12th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 12 and beginning the 22nd verse, he saith unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Which bucket's bigger? The I can control or out of my control? And he's saying here, as this is one of the most minor things. He said, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? That's nothing to God. He has the number of our hairs of our head numbered. But which of us, by taking thought, by meditating, by whatever our means or mode of influencing a situation or trying to regain control of a situation that we might employ in life, which of us, by doing those kind of things, can change the way we look or how tall we are or how long we live? Or you see, there are some things that are just out of our control. No matter how much I stress about it, no matter how much I worry and I lose sleep over it and I fret about it and I think about it and I plan for it and all those things, I'm not going to change it. What is the Serenity Prayer? I don't know if I'm call it to mind right now, but Lord, help me to know the difference between the things that I can change and the things that I can't change. Give me grace to accept it, something along those lines. Because there are some things that I can't change. There's a place that I have to fill. Lord, help me to know the difference. Lord, help me to know whenever it crosses into that bucket that's something that's really out of my control. Lord, I've done all that I know to do. And folks, in every situation, there's something we can do. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the rest giver. Give it to the Lord. Lord, this situation needs to be changed. And I can't do it. I can't make this change. Lord, would you take care of it? And may the Lord help us to be able to abide in that place of rest. And my prayer and desire has been, Lord, in this year, help me to learn from some of the things I've had to learn in the past that have robbed me of my place of rest. Lord, help me to abide there. Lord, help me to be able to more quickly commit it to you and recognize the things that you haven't placed in my control for me to be able to change. I think about scripture in Hebrews that says, I'm sorry, James. Well, it's the fourth chapter. Maybe we'll turn and look at it. James chapter 4. Talking about those things that seemingly belong unto us and our control. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and gain and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I'd like to close in the book of Psalms, the 37th chapter. You know the Lord's not given everything into our control for a reason. The Lord doesn't need us to control everything. The Lord's the one, though, that is in control of every situation and circumstance. Lord, help us to be able to commit those things to Him. All right, Psalms 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Folks, this rest, remember what Jesus said about taking His yoke upon us? This isn't something we're going to be able to attain or achieve by ourselves. This is about more than just mind over matter. This is about yoking ourselves up with the Lord. Lord, you're going to have to help me with this. Lord, you're going to have to remind me of this. Lord, you're going to have to help me to be able to let go the things that I would try so hard to control and to hold my grip on. Lord, help me to be able to commit it unto you. So the seventh verse says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Can we carry that with us this year? Can we carry that with us even whenever, again, in the political sphere, it seems like evildoers, as has been the case for years, by the way, evildoers in the courts or in Congress or in the White House would seem like they're rising up in great preeminence and power and proposing and passing legislation that's ungodly and unrighteous. There's a place for us that despite of him who prospers in his way, despite of the man that brings wicked devices to pass, folks, it doesn't have to rob our rest. Because there remains, therefore, still today, in 2021, there remains a rest for us. No matter what may happen, no matter what this year ahead of us may hold, there remains a rest for us, a place in Christ that I can lay down my control, that I can open my hands and say, Lord, this is in the out of my control bucket. Lord, this is yours. Help me to let go of this. Help me to give this to you. And in Christ alone, folks, there's a peace that passes understanding. It passes understanding because our understanding would tell us that peace comes in the absence of any kind of turmoil or strife. But the peace of Christ came to leave with us, he said, is not the peace that the world knows. It's not the kind of rest that the world strives for or finds on vacation or the beach or whatever. There is a rest that can remain for us right in the midst in our day-to-day burdens, our day-to-day monotony that we deal with, the problems that are too big for us, the things that would begin to pile up on us. Folks, there's still a rest. And I want to encourage us in the days ahead of us that we would seek for that rest and that we would commit to the Lord our ways that we might find His rest. You pray for me.